This is Cold Wind by C.J. Box. Again, Dode Lead turned to address someone inside.
"He's scared of the dogs,"
she said, rolling her eyes. Then back to Joe.
"What is it you need?"
"Just to talk to you for a minute," he said. "It won't take long."
"He says he wants to talk to us,"
Dode reported. Then back to Joe.
"What about?"
A large man with shoulder-length black hair and a basketball-sized beer belly shouldered past Dode and yelled angrily at the dogs. The big man was much younger than Dode, although Joe could see some resemblance in his rough, wide face and unfriendly manner. He thought he must be her son.
"Are you Wesley?"
"Yeah,"
he said.
"Joe Pickett."
"I know, I heard of you."
He said it in a way that suggested Wes wasn't impressed at all.
"Mind if I talk to your folks for a couple minutes?"
Wes glanced at his mother, who looked back without expression.
"Make it quick," he said. "We're kind of busy today."
Joe nodded. He didn't question what it was they were busy doing.
"Mind if I come in?"
"If it's about Earl Alden,"
Dode said,
"we don't have much good to say."
This is from The Reform Artist by John Riesfeld. Martin struggled to breathe as he dragged himself toward an empty seat. He swung his left arm wildly to clear a path and steadied himself by grabbing onto a nearby handrail with his right. When he finally reached the seat, he turned around and gingerly dropped into place. As he did, Martin felt something in his left pants pocket. Handshaking, he dug in and retrieved a tiny video disc in a slim vinyl case. The disc was silver, unmarked and small, only half the diameter of the videos Martin normally played on his home entertainment system.
"Huh,"
he grunted to himself, in between steadily decreasing but uneven chest heaves. He flipped the disc over in his hand several times. He had no idea what it was, why the stranger had given it to him, or how he had come to know his first name. This is from The Emperor's New Clothes by Hans Christian Andersen, as translated by Anthea Bell.
"I'm ready," said the Emperor. "Don't my clothes suit me well?"
And he twisted and turned in front of the mirror once more, pretending to be admiring his fine clothes. The chamberlains, who were to carry the train, fumbled on the floor as if they were picking it up, and then pretended to be carrying it. They were afraid to let anyone notice that they couldn't see a thing. So the Emperor walked in procession under the fine canopy, and all the people in the streets and standing at the windows cried, "Oh, how wonderful the Emperor's new clothes look! What a fine cloak he's wearing over his coat! How well they suit him!" For no one wanted people to think he couldn't see anything. That would have meant he was either stupid or unfit for his job. None of the Emperor's other clothes had ever been so greatly admired.
"But the Emperor has no clothes on,"
said a child.
"Listen to the poor innocent,"
said the child's father. But the people began passing what the child had said on to each other.
"The Emperor has no clothes on. The child over there says the Emperor has no clothes on."
Finally, all the people were shouting,
"The Emperor has no clothes on!"
And the Emperor cringed, for he thought in his heart they were right. But he said to himself,
"I must hold on until the end of the procession."
So he bore himself even more proudly than before, and the chamberlains went on carrying the train that wasn't there at all.